In this series, I take a walk with a former student of Erasmus University. And today I'm meeting Lisa Jordan, who has studied development studies at the Institute of Social Studies. And over the past 30 years, she has spent all of her time and hundreds of millions of dollars on creating social impact. Lisa Jordan, thank you for joining me. You have been studying development studies, yes, at the Institute of Social Studies in The Hague, part of Erasmus University. Yeah. Not everybody knows this, but yeah, you've been working all over the globe. Where haven't you been?
I miss the Middle East.
Yeah.
More or less. Well, I went to Israel, so it's not. But I miss parts of the Middle East.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only. Okay. That's the only thing. Okay. And you have been involved from the perspective of numerous NGOs, involved in making the world a better place. Is this what you have been?
Yeah. Some people.
Does it boil down to that?
Yeah. Some people want to build things, and some people want to make change, and some people want to make change by building things. But for me, what I wanted to do was make social change in one sort or another. So I spent an entire 30-odd years working for government, NGOs, foundations, and now I work with social enterprises, which combines these different kinds of organizations together to create social change.
Could you give an example of a project you're working on or have been working on?
We have a fabulous Dutch social enterprise that works out of VASP that builds treatment plants, waste treatment plants in Africa, for example. It takes all sorts of Dutch technology from Delft and Rotterdam and The Hague and other places and brings it all together and creates clean energy from waste.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely phenomenal. So that's one of the organizations that I have the opportunity to work with now, and I really love it.
And if it comes to sort of this social change, what is the ultimate goal?
The ultimate goal is for people to be able to shape the society that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
So most NGOs or most social enterprises, there's a big social problem like climate change or too much pollution or somebody's rights being violated, and they want to change that. And so that's why they go to work for a social change organization of one sort or another. And I've had the opportunity to work first in policy planning in the US Congress, and then secondly for NGOs, which don't have a revenue generating model.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between an NGO and a social enterprise. And now I work with a foundation that gives support and money to social enterprises.
Which is called?
The Draper Richards Kaplan Foundation.
Exactly.
Comes out of Silicon Valley. Absolutely amazing.
So the dream or the ideal is changing the world and making money at the same time, right?
Well, for social enterprises, it's really about the impact first, and for us too.
Mm-hmm.
We are an impact first investor, which means that when we offer money to social entrepreneurs with big ideas who want to scale that idea, we are always asking them all sorts of questions about how do you create change at scale. So it's not really about making money. For other impact investors, it is about doing well and doing good, is the expression that they use in The Hague, doing well and doing good. But for us, it's really about the impact. What is the social impact? And I think it's phenomenal that young people today want to make social impact by combining business principles, market-based principles, and social change. Because 10 years ago, that was almost unheard of. It's really the next generation that's asking us to combine all these things. Yes.
Really?
Really, honestly.
This is funny. A number of years ago, I interviewed a couple of students, and I about what they wanted to do in life. And I thought that they would come up with, I want to change the world. Okay, I want to make some money, but I want to make the world greener and more social. But what turned out is that they just still wanted to make money. So is it really the truth that most young people want to change the world, or is it just a marginalized small part of our filter bubble?
Some young people want to change the
world
is how I would put it. Here's the thing. More young people today want to change the world than before, than from my generation, that's for sure. You see lots of people going into big corporations and saying, to their boss, well, this is great, but the corner office is not what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm looking for is responsibility. I'm looking for a way to make a difference. And I'm looking for this company's values. What's this company's values actually look like? And you know, you can ask the HR department at Unilever, you can ask the HR department at DSM, what kind of kids are they talking to and what do those kids value right now? So there really is.
So this is a big trend.
This is a big trend. What the thing that I find phenomenal is that they don't only look at NGOs to make that change. They don't only look at policy planning. You can go into the government to make that change. They're looking at what kind of business can I build to make that change. So that's new.
Okay.
That's new.
Okay.
And new, you know, new is it like this year new? No. It's a trend that we can see for the last decade.
So what did you want to be when you were
a kid?
Yeah.
Well, when I was really little, I wanted to be president, of course.
Okay.
And then
is this an American thing or
yeah,
the biggest
thing? Yeah, we all want to be heroes of
okay,
one sort or
okay.
another.
Okay, famous or president.
Famous
or both.
President.
Yeah.
I wanted to be president. And then I decided, you know, when I got a little more realistic, that I'd like to be a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, actually, journalists really often only write about problems, and I wanted to figure out how to solve them. So that's why
and they're paid very poorly, so.
Well,
you do as
you
well.
Know, social
or,
work doesn't pay.
Okay.
Social work really doesn't pay, but you know, it pays off in the impact that you can have in the world, which is another kind of
mm-hmm.
fulfillment,
mm-hmm.
if you will. And mm-hmm. I think probably a more important fulfillment now when you look at climate change and you look at inequity and you look at, you know, the volatility that our world is in right now, to be able to get up every single day and get paid for trying to make a difference or a change,
mm-hmm.
that's really super powerful, like a superhero.
But the problems are sort of the world is in sort of constant chaos, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of cynicism in your line of work as well, right?
Well, people get burnt out
mm-hmm.
Because they care so deeply, and then they can see that the difference that they can make is small, and so sometimes they get really burnt out. But there's
have you ever been on this point where you thought
on the burnout point?
Yeah.
No. Not
when was
really.
It, when were you closest to it that you thought, but this is
I
no.
I had a job where the values that the company talked about and the values that they lived were different.
Mm.
That was very upsetting, I have to say. But
they were pretending to be sort of this
yes,
good
were,
social.
Yeah, they were not totally straight to themselves. More than to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
They really weren't very straight. So that was not very nice. But in general, I think the world is messy. It is true what you said. It's a big mess. But the number of people who want to use every facet of their life to create change and to really address inequity or climate or any of the other issues that we're addressing right now are more. There are more people who want to see that kind of change. And they are using their voting power, they're using their jobs, whether they're in business, civil society, or in the government. And so we have much more, I would say, much more movement in society right now than we have had in a long time.
The society meaning worldwide?
Country, worldwide, global social movements, global value chains,
mm-hmm.
global supply chains. So like that, totally globally, but also nationally. From your community, your neighborhood where you live, to what's happening in The Hague with the government, you see lots of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's protests, sometimes it's building new political parties. You have 17 political parties in the government now. You've never had 17 political parties in the government
You
before.
Consider this a good thing?
I consider it an interesting thing.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's good, because it's harder to find the middle ground when
mm-hmm.
you have so many disparate parties, but it does show that there's a real hunger to have a say in the way in which society is shaped.
And this is something yeah. you say you see everywhere. This is an
everything.
Overall activism.
A lot of activism right now. A lot of activism, a lot of concern
mm-hmm.
about big things that seemed like they were far away 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, I was working with Al Gore, who was very famous for his work on climate change. And no one understood what he was talking about. Today, I can talk to a 5-year-old and they know what climate change is. So there's a big difference in that kind of way, I think.
So you've lived in New York, right?
Yes.
So this is, we call this Manhattan on the Maas.
Yeah, this is this is the place to be.
It's a sad comparison, right?
It's a sad comparison, but we don't have such a beautiful bridge. That bridge is gorgeous, and it's world famous.
This is a good thing to say to someone from Rotterdam. You're making me proud. We're talking about the big issues in the world. So the inequality, climate change, social unrest, democracies under pressure, a rising number of failed states.
Yeah.
How can you do your job day in, day out and not get cynical about this or not get...
Cynicism has never been the poison for me. Frustration, anger, feeling too small, those have all been poisons, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But cynicism not, because this is our time. If you're on this planet right now, you have not only a responsibility, but you have a possibility, an opportunity to actually create the change that you want to see, to live in the society that you want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the gorgeous thing about living in a democracy, is that you get to participate in all sorts of ways, whereas in other kinds of cultures you don't. So
from these big developments, what worries you most, or what drives you most?
Yeah, so inequity and climate, which you hear me say over and over again. Inequity and climate, and actually the movement of people who have had to flee where they live, that migration pattern. How many, there are 300 million people right now on the move in China alone. It's unbelievable how many people have to leave their place because their soil has failed, because there's a monsoon, because there's unrest, which you can usually bring back to the fact that they didn't have the things that they needed in order to live an adequate life or to feed their children. Those kinds of things concern me a great deal.
And how? Because I'm sensing a lot of optimism.
Yeah.
How do you think? How capable are we as mankind, as humans, being sort of egocentric as well, right? Self-absorbed.
Yeah.
Talking about a country as the Netherlands.
Yeah.
We're worried about really small local things, right? Most of the time. How capable are we to fix this big shit?
If it wasn't in our own self-interest, if we didn't have a stake in the game, then I would be cynical. But we have a stake in the game. You've got one, I have one. It's in our own best interest to fix climate change. It's in our own best interest to reduce inequality in a culture. Then a society, then a country can actually move forward because it's much more stable. Because people all have opportunity in that society. It's in our best interest, actually, to make sure that migrants are integrated properly.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are in our best interest. So if I can talk to you about why it's in your best interest to work on this stuff with me or with somebody else, I don't care who you work with, but if it's in your best interest, then we all have a stake in the game, and then I think it's possible to create the change that we actually need. I do. Okay, so does that make me ridiculous?
I don't know, does it?
I don't know, I don't think so. I've been doing it for a really long time, and I get so much energy from working with social enterprises, social entrepreneurs, from people who are working in government, from people who are working at big businesses, and they just want to know how can my business actually play a better role in the world. I meet these people every single day. You can't but be optimistic when you have the opportunity to work with people like this. So,
right now you're doing this from The Hague, right?
Yes,
City of The Hague. Why aren't you in Rotterdam?
I'm in The Hague because The Hague has something called Impact City.
Mm-hmm.
And Impact City is where investors, social enterprises, government, business, and civil society come together to do well and do good, to actualize the self-interest that I just talked about. And it's fantastic to be there. And they really, they're really making an effort in the city, so it felt like an ecosystem that I could join. That's why.
They care about the world in The Hague.
They care about the world
in
The Hague.
And they're only self-absorbed in Rotterdam.
No, well, you can talk about Rotterdam
because
you're from Rotterdam.
Yeah.
I'll leave that to you. Yeah.
Discover more stories at thinkdo.org.